Thank the Lord for His help and blessings. Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, happy birthday to Junior. 16 tomorrow. Okay. All right. Appreciate that. Happy birthday to Junior today. He just want to get in on the little Father's Day attention too, right? There you go. All right, let's go to Luke 15 and look in our Bibles for a few minutes this morning. Luke chapter 15. I want to preach to you today on just this thought, a good father, a good father. And I believe that we do have one here. Some people can make a lot of different points about it, but I believe the way this father handled things, he done a good job. And we want to learn some things from that. I've heard a lot of messages from the prodigal son, and I heard a lot of different application from it, and a lot of good things, a lot of good insight, a lot of good messages from the elder brother as well. But I want to kind of give the emphasis to the father today and see if it can help us some way, okay? We're going to read verses 11 down through verse 24, and if you want to stand with us today, you can stand with us as we read verses 11 down through 24 of Luke chapter 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself unto a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, by the way, that country very well could be Gentile country. He's in a far land. He's a Jew, and look where he ends up, feeding the pigs. I mean, that's not really what he wanted to set out and do in life. Verse 16, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat, and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father God, direct us today in your word. I pray, Lord, you'd strengthen us and help us in every way, Lord, and today, and encourage our hearts and give help, Lord. Give help and guidance, and draw us all to the Father today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The story of a good father is also the story of a wayward son that we have here. Both of these sons were, he had two sons, and both of these sons were working there on the farm, if you will. But the younger decided he was done with that, and he requested to go ahead and have his inheritance and let me move on. So that was his request. He really was done in rebellion. He made a mess of his life. And as you can see, it led to misery in his life as well. Well, Jesus used this father as an illustration. Now, he's obviously already talked about the lost sheep. He's talked about the lost coin. He's talking about how God goes after the lost and wants to win the lost. So this is the third illustration about it. But perhaps this one has more meaning and passion and emotion in it than the others. And by the way, this all started because the Pharisees accused Jesus of receiving sinners. They didn't receive sinners. They didn't have compassion on lost people. So the Lord's showing them how to have compassion on others. Amen? And who best to show us that than the Lord? And he used this Father, really his Heavenly Father, as the example. So maybe we can take note of how this Father handled these matters with his son here. In fact, if we'd have read on, it tells us how he handled it with the elder son as well. But we're not going to focus on that part today. Number one, I want to say this. This father was approachable, first of all. He was approachable. This son felt that he could go talk to his father about anything. Obviously so. This seems a little bit forward, seems a little bit arrogant, perhaps. The request that he went and made to his father. And we just all have to wonder, you know, how would I react to such a request? Now, their culture and all that's got to come into play and understanding some of that. But the truth of the matter is, he's not of age. It's not time for this. It's definitely not time for this. But he just really wanted off the farm. And he wanted to get away from his father's guidance and direction and way of life. And he just didn't want anything to do with it. He wanted to go sow his wild oats. We obviously see that in the story. He'd rather sow wild oats than to stay home and sow grain and corn. You know, that's not what he was interested in. He wanted to go sow his wild oats. One commentary said he wanted his independence. He wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to live his own life. He wanted to be free from responsibility. He felt his father would demand too much work, limit his freedom, restrict his fun. His father would be unfair. He would not understand. He would control too much. He wanted his freedom. Well, really, he wanted his own way. He wanted his own dreams. But the problem was, they were sinful dreams. Once he got out on his own, he just went wild. The Bible tells us that, how it happened. So, again, he wasn't mature. He wasn't ready for this. He certainly wasn't spiritually ready for this. Now, no mention of mom. I don't know if the Bible just didn't record her role in this or she had passed on. We don't know. But again, we don't know all the details. We don't know all the passions or emotions involved in this, but we can use our sanctified imagination on this. Some kids perhaps wouldn't have asked. They'd have just ran away. Some kids would have went and borrowed money from somebody else and went off and done their thing. But my point right here is he felt like he could go approach his father about anything. Obviously so, right? He had a relationship to where he could just go tell him whatever, and I would like to think in a respectful manner, but he could go talk to him, and he could outright ask his dad for about anything because his father was approachable. And I like to think of our Heavenly Father as being approachable. He says, come unto me, right? He says, let us go boldly unto the throne of grace. Now, I understand God the Father is not in giving us our wish list. We understand that. He's not into saying, here, just whatever you want, whenever you want it. The Lord doesn't do that. But this father was approachable so that this son could go do it. And our God wants to hear our hearts. He wants to hear your prayers. He wants to know your concerns. He wants to know everything. In fact, it even got to the point, this is, I think, the meat of the story, it even got to the point to where he felt like he could approach his father and tell him his sins and his downfalls. That's pretty good. He didn't say, my dad's going to kill me. He said, I believe I can go to my father. I could go talk to him before this. I believe I can go talk to him after this. And that proved to be true. I'm glad we've got a Heavenly Father, folks, that we can go to in that kind of a way. Great task turned into great temptations. A great adventure turned into agony. Prestige went to poverty. Riches went to rags. Happiness went to hardship. But he said, I can go talk to my father about this. I like that part of the story. That he said, I'll arise and go to my father. I'm glad I got a Heavenly Father. I may have to go to him and say I'm embarrassed. I wish I hadn't have done that again. I wish I hadn't acted that way. Father, I haven't walked worthy of your name. I'm glad I can go to him. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins or forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad I got a Father in heaven that even though whenever I make mistakes, do the wrong thing, outright sin, I can go ask forgiveness and he's faithful and approachable, right? You can go and you can talk to him about whatever might be on your heart. Well, that's the kind of father this boy had. And I'm glad he did, because even from the hog pen of sin and misery, He said, I can go talk to my father. Now, he's showing some respect now. He's saying, I'm not worthy. I get that. Maybe he'll let me be a servant. But I believe I can go talk to him. The door was still open, right? The door hadn't been closed by his father. The door was still there, and the feeling of approachability was still there. Because that's just the kind of father that I believe this man was and this boy had. I think that's a good thing. Number two, this father was associated with heaven. He said, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I believe when he thought of his father, he thought of heaven. When he thought of heaven, he thought of his father. I believe he associated those two things together. That's pretty good. I hope you had the kind of father, or you are the kind of father, that whenever you thought of your father, you thought of the Heavenly Father. You thought of spiritual things. Or whenever your child thinks of you, they're going to think of God the Father. They're going to think of church. They're going to think of spiritual things. They're going to think of the Word of God. Why? Because those two things, you're the kind of man that those two things just go together. They're associated, right? And you can think of it in that kind of a manner. So whenever it finally got to this point, and this boy ran out of his money, and when you run out of money, you find out you run out of friends. I bet he had a lot of friends and a lot of good time for a while, right? Money's gone. Where are my buddies? I need some money now. And they were gone. He was miserable. He was by himself. He was alone. He found out all that glitters is not gold. So it got to this point in his life. Now, thinking about the father, he didn't insist that, don't go. He didn't insist, please come back. He just allowed him to make some mistakes. He allowed it. And he said, you know, go. I don't know that he said that, but he allowed it. Thankfully, the boy did learn from his mistakes. Thankfully, the boy did, the Bible says, come to himself. That's a great phrase in the Bible. He came to himself. He came to his senses, if you will, and the first thing he thought of was my father. So he was approachable, but he also associated with him with love, help, compassion, forgiveness, good things. That's a good thing for a father to be associated with, right? And he associated those things with his father. So he allowed him to go make those mistakes. He didn't insist you don't do it or you come right back or whatever. I think he was a godly father. This boy knew his dad's belief. He knew his dad read the Bible. He knew his dad was involved in the church. Perhaps he had seen his dad even witness to others before. Now look, I can say all those things. I've seen my dad do all of that. Thank God for it. And maybe as he thought about those things and he's like, that's the kind of father that I have. So he just felt like he's associated with forgiveness. What are we associated with when we're thought about in that way? I hope they equate us with biblical truth and the love of God. Amen. You know, many young people go to the hog pen of sin, but they don't have that to fall back on. A lot of them may go to the hog pen of sin because they didn't have it in the first place. Right? Fatherhood. We see that a lot. A lot of them may go out there because they didn't have anybody to lean on. I'm glad this boy at least had somebody he could fall back on that he knew. There was an unconditional, a steadfast love there, and a forgiving spirit, and a helping spirit. Not a condoning spirit, don't get me wrong. But there was a solid foundation to which he could return to. I think we all should always do what we can with people, whether they be family or children or whoever, and they go out of our life. I would like to think they could come back and find a good landing spot with us because we still love them, and they know we still love them, and they know we've been praying for them the whole time, right? And I think this kind of father was like that. I think he was what he should have been, and that enabled the young man to eventually become what he should have been. Had his father handled it different, I don't know what would happen in the story. Had he not felt like I can approach him even from this miserable situation, I don't know what it would have been like. If he could not have gone back and had a landing spot with his father, who knows how the story might have ended. But I'm glad that he thought of his father. He associated heaven. I have sinned. I know I've done wrong. That's confession. That's good. I have sinned against heaven. I'm glad he recognized that. And against you. I'm glad he recognized that. But he had the understanding that I can go back and say these things. He's approachable. And he's associated with heaven. And that's a good thing. But let me say this. Number three, his father was also affectionate. He was affectionate. Now, you know, it tells us there that whenever he came down the road, his father did what? He ran out to meet him. He hugged him. He kissed him. He had compassion on him. That's what the Bible says. Now, somebody might criticize, well, I'll tell you what, that's not how I'd do that. It's not how I'd handle that one bit. You know, no, well, this man was like, I think Jesus has given us a picture of the Father in heaven. This man was affectionate. This man was loving. This man was to the point that this boy could go back. You know, we've been in 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 2, we read this verse last week. It said, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Paul used that as illustration to the Thessalonians. He said, you know what a father, he exhorted. He said, you know, fathers encourage. They encourage life careers. They encourage good behavior. They encourage wise decisions. Fathers exhort. He said, and they comfort as well. Do you think this father comforted that boy when he was coming up? And I'm glad he comforted that boy when he came back too. He did it both ways. He did it both times, as Paul talked about there. And he charged him. Do you think he sternly taught him and instructed him and urged him in good and wise behavior before he left or while he was coming up, before he left and when he got back? I think he continued to do all of that. Why? That's what a father does. And Paul, that's why Paul used that as an illustration. So he was a faithful father, and he did all that before the boy left. He did it all when the boy got back. And I'm glad he could. You know, Spurgeon said this about this father going out to meet him. He said he was out of breath, but he wasn't out of love. And that boy knew that. Oh, I don't know how long he was gone. I don't know how much older Dad looked when he got back. He probably was out of breath when he got to him. But I like that phrase, he wasn't out of love. You know, Hollywood has always pictured fatherhood, probably in a negative light. You know, you think about it, you love the old Westerns. Men were so cold and calloused, you know, and they just soon punched their son out as they punched the stranger out, you know. And that's kind of the picture of fatherhood and manhood that we used to get. I kind of like it better than today's version, to be honest with you. Now we've gone to the other extreme. Y'all laugh right there. Y'all know it's true. We've gone to the other extreme now. I almost rather the hardness than the extreme softness that we get today. But, you know, I believe the Bible gives a proper example of, proper balance of this. Our Heavenly Father shows the proper balance of sternness, hardness even, not harshness, but hardness even, but also love and compassion. And this boy knew that he had that kind of a father, that he was an affectionate father. The boy comes back and he runs to him and he hugs him, and the smell of the pigs is there and the rags is there, the empty pockets is there, and all the lost time is there, and all the ill feelings perhaps and hurt feelings are there. But at this point, none of that mattered. He said, he's home. He's back. Let's do this. Let's celebrate. He said, let us be merry. You know, the Bible also tells us in this same chapter, up in verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Again, who's he dealing with here? Hard-hearted Pharisees. They didn't have any. He said, look, he said, what, one what? Sinner. Well, this man received sinners. He said, guess what? Heaven does too. He said, let one sinner come and repent. Heaven rejoices. And then he gave them this story as an illustration of that. Look, folks, when people get saved, glory to God, hallelujah, right? When people go astray and come back to God, thank the Lord for it. And even when it's your own family goes astray, thank God when they come back. Why are you praying for them, by the way? Because you believe they can come back. Why? Because you believe, first of all, you love them, but you also believe, on the spiritual sense, you also believe there's a God up in heaven that'll love them and forgive them when they come back. You're praying for them to get back into the right relationship with the Lord. You're praying for them to fall back in the arms of Jesus, knowing they'll be accepted. Why? Because Jesus gave us a picture of it right here. So you're praying for them to come back, and you're glad when they do. Now, I don't know. You know, he might have had this great celebration, and then he went and sat him down and said, "Now I'm going to spank you because I love you, young man." I don't know what happened eventually, but why did you put me through that? Maybe that talk came eventually. Why did you do this? Why did you make these mistakes? And why did you do this to your life? And that may have come, very well may have come. But that's not the initial reaction here. By the way, when you come back to the Lord, He'll receive you like that, but then He'll say, "Go and sin no more." Right? Straighten up. Learn the right way. And that's the way I believe God does for us. Y'all know that old story. I'll close with this. You've heard it many times. It makes me cry. But the boy that had went away from home for years, and he finally decided he would go back home. Hadn't seen his parents in years. He don't know if they're alive. He doesn't know how they are. And he's on the train ride on the way home. He strikes up a conversation with somebody, and he talks to this gentleman and tells him the story, and he says, "But I don't know if they're going to take me back or not." He said, "I sent him a letter, and I told him, by the train depot, there's a dogwood tree. If you'll put a yellow ribbon out there, then I'll know I'm welcome home." He said, "Look, we're getting close. I can't bear to look." The man looked. He looked out the window, and he said, "Son, I think you're going to be all right." He said, that tree is in full bloom of yellow ribbons tied all over it. And there's some folks standing under it, waving at this train. Hey, I think they were just like this father, waiting and watching and looking, ready to run and hug that boy when he got back. I believe that's how our Father is. Aren't you glad that no matter what you do, where you go, how far away, you can come back to Jesus? You can come back to the Father in heaven. We're like that with our own. Amen? Why? We're in the image of God. But if you're godly and you're a Christian, and the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts, it's that kind of love. Amen? Thank God for a good Father. I hope you thank God that you had or have one, or trying your best to be one. And may this be an example for us all. Let's bow our heads this morning and think about these things today. Dear Father, it can be a very emotional day. It can be a very emotional passage of Scripture. But we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that, God, you love us. You love every one of us. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that needs to go to the Father for salvation, they'll do it. I pray, Lord, if there's one here today that needs to go back to the Father, they'll do it. I pray, Lord, if there's some here today that need to make amends within their own family, I pray they'll do it. I pray for others, Lord, that need comfort and grace in a special way today. And God, you'd give that to. Wisdom and guidance to the fathers that are here. Lord, help us right now, Lord, to respond as you'd have us to and to obey your voice. And I pray it. In Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed. A little music plays. You might need to come this morning. Ask God's help and blessing today. Some father may want to come and say, "Lord, help me to be what I ought to be. Help me to be a biblical father. Help me to be a good father. Help me to be the right kind of father." You might want to come and pray and ask for that today. You might want to pray for a prodigal. You might want to pray for your attitude concerning a prodigal. You might want to ask God to help you with that. You may want to come to the Father for salvation today. I urge you to do it. Amen. You may be seated. Got one more thing.